We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I am well. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts. We'll get those uploaded to the website shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. If you'd like a entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of June, all you got to do is like, share, and comment on the Facebook post. Our book for today, or for June, is Hard Sayings, Reconciling the Cost of Discipleship and the American Dream. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Sure can. Let's pray. Gracious God, this morning as we gather wherever we are, whether it be live this morning or sometime in the future. We just pray, Lord, that the words that are said here are yours, that you will open our hearts and our minds to receiving, and may your blessing be upon all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title.
Three Simple Rules. So, part of my tradition in the Christian faith, I'm a United Methodist pastor, is our founder, John Wesley, when back in the 1700s, when Methodism was first forming, put people together in what we called bands or classes, societies. And so what would happen is, it was a way for people to gather each and every week to do some accountability. Now that's a big word, right? Mm-hmm. Accountability is a big word, sometimes a scary word. I actually think accountability is one of the most faithful words, because there are times that I need to hold you accountable. Something you said, something you did, something you didn't do. But the key to accountability is you have to do it back to me. Mm. So part of what happened is in the early societies, Wesley created what he called the general rules. And they were three rules, three questions, really, that were asked of every member of the society. And it was a way for you to take what I call spiritual inventory, right? It was a way to look at your week and ask yourself, during this week, did I give honor and praise, and did my life reflect Christ? Did it not? And how can that change if it did? What do I need to do? Who do I need to ask for forgiveness? Who do I need to offer forgiveness to? It was a way each and every week to really take an in-depth look at where you are. Now, unfortunately, this has gotten quite watered down. Mm-hmm. I hope that if you attend worship, and I hope you attend worship, that you have some sort of discipleship group that you participate in, okay? I firmly believe, and I've said on this program before, the three parts of a healthy Christian life is worship, discipleship, and service. You need a little bit of all three of those in your life, okay? discipleship is what we're talking about here. And that's where you have study, you have small groups, can be maybe if you sing in the choir. It's something that you do outside of worship for the edification of your soul, for the growth of your soul, okay? I know that every fall and spring I teach a Bible study or some kind of book study. And, you know, we'll have 10 to 15, 20 people. And in that group, we study something together. We pray for one another. We check on each other's souls. And we learn together, mm-hmm. right? I think that is so important. I think, unfortunately, sometimes that's gotten watered down a little. Some of our what used to be really powerful things like Sunday school and small groups have tended to become a little bit more, hey, let's get together and, you know, figure out, you know, hey, what did we do last week? Not in our spiritual life, just what'd you do last week, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'd like to recover that tradition a little. I think Wesley was on to something. When I look at the scriptures and I look at the way Jesus operated, he spoke to crowds. He narrowed those crowds down to a few, into the disciples. And sometimes he'd even take just three of them and really get in depth with them. Now, I am not suggesting that everybody become your accountability partner. Please don't misunderstand me, because you have to have great trust, okay? In fact, when we're done with the program today, I have a call with my accountability partner. I meet with every 2 weeks. And we're going to do ours on Zoom today. And we start every session with the same question: how is it with your soul? And sometimes it's, hey, good, had a good couple weeks. How about you? Had a good couple weeks. All right, let's talk football, you know? And sometimes we spend an hour, well, I had a discipleship denied moment. Did something I shouldn't. Said something I shouldn't. Or, you know, I've got some things going on in my life I just need someone to share with. You have to have that confidence and that trust in one another. Mm-hmm. But that builds over time, right? And I think what we have lost in some respects is we've lost the ability to actually be able to do this. We've lost the ability to hold each other accountable in a good way, but to love each other into a deeper relationship with Christ. That is part of the function of the church. At its core, the church is there to help grow the relationship with Jesus, right? The church is birthed from the Holy Spirit, and that is one of the roles of the Spirit. Well, unfortunately, again, I think this is where sometimes the church, what I would consider the modern church, we've not done as well. We have spent so much time focused on worship, and don't get me wrong, love worship. Worship is vital, uber important, needs to be done with excellence. It's the time we spend pouring ourselves out before the Lord. But sometimes we have missed this section. We've missed the section of individual and corporate growth. And so Wesley devised what he called those general rules. And a few years ago, one of our United Methodist bishops, Bishop Reuben Jobe, wrote a book called Three Simple Rules, where he tried to recover these general rules and put them in a way that makes a little bit more sense, maybe in the modern world. And this is the three rules: do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. And so the idea being that every time we gather with our Christian brothers and sisters, we should ask these three simple questions, these three simple rules, and have the opportunity to do some self-examination, some self-reflection, to listen to another, and to offer each other the opportunity to both celebrate those praises, like, you know, earlier when you said, hey, send us your praise reports or your prayer requests. It's a chance for us to do that together. So what I'm going to do this morning is kind of go through each of those rules and kind of what that entails, and hopefully maybe by the end of the program encourage you to find somebody, someone that you trust, who's going to keep your confidence, who's going to, someone that loves you and that loves you enough to tell you the truth. Because, by the way, that is essential. You know, I can tell you I'm fine, right? We see each other once a month. You might catch on or not. But my buddy that I'm going to talk to in about an hour or so, if I go, oh, I'm fine, he will know if I'm fine or if I'm just playing games, right?
Right.
He knows because we've been doing this for years, okay? That's what you need, someone who can see through whatever facade you're putting on. Because the idea is, if you've got sin that you need to confess, confess it. If you've got praise you need to lift up and share, share it, right? All of those things matter, and they've got to get from in here somewhere. Speaking them out gives them incredible power. So we're going to start with the first one. And I'll be honest, when I first started to study our general rules, the three simple rules, I was a little surprised at their order. If you notice, I gave them to you in order, what we consider the order. Do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Now, you might think, and as I did, that do good should be first. Right? And yet we say do no harm. Before I became a pastor, we've talked about this on the program, I was actually studying to go to medical school. And got pretty far along that process before I felt the call to actually go preach. And so part of studying for the medicine was learning some of the basics. And one of the basic things is every doctor takes the Hippocratic Oath, right? And in the Hippocratic Oath, one of the key tenets is to not make things worse. So if you have a patient, don't exacerbate or make worse whatever they're facing. So if they have a broken arm, don't break their leg. You know what I mean? If you can avoid it, don't make things worse. And if you listen to doctors, sometimes they will say, we could do this, but it might make things worse. And then you have to decide whether you're willing to do that, but they won't do it to you, right? Because the idea is, you don't want to take a bad situation and make it worse. You don't want to participate in something that's going to make something hard become harder. And I do apologize to if there's an English teacher. You don't want to make it worser. Okay? And so when I first started studying theology and began to study these general rules, I was taken aback because this first one mirrors the Hippocratic Oath. Do no harm. And I had to stop and think about that for a moment. Well, how does what I do really cause harm? I mean, then I stopped and thought about it. Sometimes I've said things that I've wished I could take back. You know, I mentioned a minute ago how much I love football. It's kind of like if you ever watch football and you watch a quarterback throw a pass they know they shouldn't have thrown, and you're like, that quarterback wishes there was a string to pull it back. Like, oh, I can't believe I let that ball go. Sometimes I have said things and I was like, oh, grab them before they get past here. And I just don't get them back, right? Sometimes I've done things to people and I knew it. And sometimes I did things and didn't know it. And vice versa. Sometimes people have said things to me and they didn't think anything of it. And I took it personal. These things happen. Harm is a real thing. Harm is something that comes as a result of the brokenness of our world. One of the things that we have to come to grips with, and it's why I think this is so important, is that when we discuss doing no harm, we actually have to come to the realization and the understanding and allow ourselves to listen to this, that our world really is broken. That we live in a fallen world. Sometimes I think, especially in this culture, we have tried to sort of sugarcoat that. We've tried to whitewash that. You know, oh, that's not that bad. And we've done that so well that the goalposts have moved, right, of what's acceptable and not acceptable. And I think we have to recover the reality of sin, of evil, pain. You know, I don't know if I've said it on this program, but I say it at the church a lot. The worst saying we tell children, the worst in my opinion, is when we say to them, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie. That is an absolute lie. We should not tell our children that, because words can be very painful. I've experienced it. I had a professor one time tell me in a class, I found out that I was going into ministry, professor that I loved and adored, said to me, "What a waste of good talent." It's the last thing he ever said to me. I still remember that. That was almost 25 years ago. It's true. I still remember it. I could go right now back to, when I was at OU at the time, I could go back to OU, I could go to the building, I could go to the classroom, and I could go to the seat I was sitting in. Because those words hurt. Now, I've learned how to deal with them, but I still remember them. Unfortunately, there are things I've said that people still remember. That's why doing no harm has to be the very first thing. We've got to stop doing evil. We have to stop doing the wrong thing. We have to stop doing the things that we know, especially the things we know to be wrong. Because if we stop those, we'll stop doing something unintentional wrong, I believe. But we've got to stop doing the things that we know better. You know, again, we live, you know, in Oklahoma. There's that great saying, you know better. You do know better. We do know better. Most of the time, it's not that we don't know what God is asking of us or we don't know what's right or wrong. We just choose not to do it. Well, to do no harm is to stop participating in the things that hurt or cause pain to others. In the modern world, things like sexism, racism, xenophobia, these are the kinds of things that have hurt people, grossly hurt people. We have to stop doing them. It's not just enough to go, "Oh, we should stop," or, "Oh, that's bad." In James, we talk about listening versus doing. We have to stop. We have to do something about them. And if you think I'm just making this up, or if you think, "Oh my gosh, you know, that's too justice-y, I'm not so much for the social justice stuff," let me remind you of this incredible Jewish rabbi named Jesus. And let me tell you a little bit about his story just for a moment. Good guy. You might check him out. Bible, New Testament, first four books. He hung out at leper colonies. Now let's talk about leper colonies for a moment. Any skin disease in the first century, they would send you away. So they would send you to the edge of town, usually to a cave. You'd be removed from your family, your work, your friends. You couldn't go into town, and if you did, you had to be covered, and people would point at you, "Leper, leper, leper." Imagine how that must have felt. So basically you stayed in a colony with other lepers, and the best you could hope for is that someone in your family or someone that had compassion would sort of throw food into there and maybe try to get you some drink. That was your living. How do you think that worked? How do you think that made them feel? You think that made them feel good? You think that edified their soul? Do you think that made them wake up and go, "Gosh, I'm happy to be a leper"? But where do we find Jesus? We find Jesus in the leper colony. We find Jesus in the places that others wouldn't go. Because Jesus would not continue to do harm to the lepers. Enough harm had been done. Don't make the situation worse. So Jesus breaks the convention. And where do we find him? Multiple times in the scripture? With the lepers. Women. First century, second class citizen at best, property at worst. I'm not telling you I like it. I'm not telling you I think it's right. In fact, I'm telling you I think it's wrong. But it's reality. Where do we find Jesus? Talking to women at wells. One of the earliest followers, I consider her a disciple, Mary Magdalene. Talks to the Syrophoenician woman. He doesn't continue the social ill towards women. He begins to break that down. He's not going to make the situation worse. Do no harm. Even the Apostle Paul picks this up in Galatians. Remember when there's a passage where he talks about we're one in Christ Jesus. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We're all one in Christ. Even the Apostle Paul, a Pharisee to the Pharisees, right, realizes that these divisions are harmful and hurtful because they begin to put us versus them, or they are less than I am, or sometimes I am the less than them. Those kinds of ills cannot continue. To continue them is to do harm. That's why in today's world, I hope and pray every single day that we get better at race relations in our country and in our world. I pray every single day for gender equality. I pray every day that we stop being xenophobic because somebody speaks a different language or is a different race or lives in a different country or lives on the wrong side of the railroad tracks in our own community. We have barriers on top of barriers, friends, because we have perpetuated do no harm. That's why I think the very first simple rule is to take inventory of the harm that I've caused or am causing and stop doing it. It's not a matter of, well, let me think about it or let me pray about that. Nope, stop doing it. I don't believe that Jesus would love the fact that we have the racial tensions we have. I do not think Jesus would approve of the way we treat each other. I do not think Jesus would approve of what we say behind social media. And I don't think Jesus would approve of some of those things. He would have something to say because he would want to stop the harm. Well, if we're going to take an inventory of ourselves, if we're going to ask ourselves those questions, and we're going to share openly and honestly with one another, then we have to admit to the times that we've done that. When we said something we shouldn't, when we participated in a system that hurt somebody else, when we caused pain, when we caused hurt. I ask for forgiveness every day for the hurts that I've caused. I try to offer forgiveness as often as I can for those that might have hurt me. But that's why that first simple rule is to do no harm. To stop making things worse. That's easier said sometimes than done. Because there's a lot of layers to that. But if we don't start peeling those layers off one by one, we're never going to get to the source or the core or the root of the problem. I think it is essential for us, if we're going to call ourselves Christian, I think do no harm is to follow Jesus. I truly do. As hard as that might be, and as easily as we sometimes do it, because sometimes it is just seems normal, that's not okay. So that's the first of those rules. Now, we're going to pause for a moment, do some prayer requests. When we come back after the break, we're going to pick up the other two rules. So now that we've decided that we're not going to do any more harm, we've admitted to that, we've confessed that, we've acknowledged that, now we are free to do good and to stay in love with God. We'll do that after the break.
We have a couple prayer requests this morning. Pray for Taylor Benke, who had a motorcycle accident Sunday night. And then pray for the family of John Payne, whose services are this morning in Stillwater, Oklahoma. He is the half-brother to Neva Pyatt's daughter, Renee Payne Bagses.
Okay. Thank you.
If I said it wrong, I'm sorry.
It's okay. The Lord knows. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious and almighty God, we pray for these two prayer requests today. We pray for the family of John Payne. We pray for Taylor and Taylor's family. God, we don't always know everything that's needed, but we do know that you're the one who does. God, we put our faith and our trust in you, and we ask that your will be done. We pray that, oh God, for all of the things that are on our hearts. Maybe we're watching this program this morning live, maybe we're watching it later, but we all have things that we bring with us. And so we place those before you, and we ask that your will be done. We ask that you help us to participate with you by being your hands, your feet, your voice, your presence. Give us the strength of your spirit to go forth and do good in the world. God, we pray for all the things that have caused harm. We pray, Lord, that we will overcome those, not in our own strength, but in yours. For you are the one who is the author and the giver of life. And for those things, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church is now located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. The New Liberty Church, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. We'll bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue right here in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers, and his title, Three Simple Rules.
All right.
Back to you, sir.
Okay. So, in the first half of the program, of course, we talked about do no harm. And now we're going to spend the rest of the time talking about the other two simple rules, which is do good and stay in love with God. So let's talk about doing good. Now, this one seems a little, a little more refreshing, right? But doing good is something that hopefully becomes almost second nature to us. And doing good has many different levels to it. And what I mean by that is we tend to think of good in the larger sense. Like it's got to be something big. Like, somebody gave X numbers of millions of dollars to stop world hunger. Oh, that's good, right? It is good, Or maybe you think about going on a big mission trip or something. Oh, we're going to go. And I know one of the trips that was very influential to me when I was younger was we went with a church to Mexico, and we built little houses, casitas, built like 12 of them the week we were there. Made a whole difference. Literally made a city block of houses, right? That was good. But sometimes I think we forget about the good that we can do even on the most micro of levels, smallest of levels. And so, again, going back to the idea that these were questions, you might be asked the question, what good did you do this week? What harm did you do? We've acknowledged that now. What good did you do? And I think sometimes we kind of stop. We go, well, I don't know. What did I do? Well, did you smile at anybody? Did you hold a door open for anybody? When you're driving to Oklahoma City, did you let somebody in at the construction? Oh, okay. That might go back to do no harm. Sorry. did you do something that made somebody else's life better? Did you go to church, and when you're there, did you volunteer? Lead a Sunday school? Did you smile at a kid? Did you pray for someone in the hallway? There's all kinds of these things that are about doing good. Doing the things that make us full participants in the kingdom of God. One of the things that I have often said that I find to be one of the strangest things about God is that he wants our participation in his kingdom. I mean, it's not that he needs it, but he wants it. He desires it. He actually makes it available for us to be not just recipients of the kingdom of God, but participants, full participants in it. Like, we have the opportunity to absolutely make a difference.